morning, everyone. I'm going to start out by making sure everybody in the back can hear me. Am I okay? I have a very quiet voice, so if I start waning off, just let me know. Okay. I'm very pleased to be here, to have the opportunity to be here this morning to talk about a method that we're using in Arizona to identify unreported cases of congenital syphilis. As you are all aware, what is most unfortunate about congenital syphilis is that with proper prenatal screening and early treatment of women with syphilis, the disease is preventable in nearly every case. Nonetheless, congenital syphilis remains a present and devastating disease of the neonatal and early childhood periods. After many years of steady decline, the national rates for congenital syphilis began increasing in 2005, and between 2006 and 2007, the country experienced a 16% increase in these rates. At the state level, Arizona has been struggling with very high rates of congenital syphilis. For example, in 2008, Arizona reported a rate of 29.3 cases per 100,000 live births, with 30 cases for the year. That was the fourth highest rate of congenital syphilis in the country. And in fact, Arizona has had one of the top five highest annual rates of congenital syphilis 6 out of 7 years during 2002 to 2008, including the highest rate in the country during 2003, 2004, and 2005. In 2007, Arizona had the second highest rate of congenital syphilis in the country. As you can see, between 2005 and 2006, the number of reported congenital syphilis cases decreased from 28 to 16 cases, representing a 43% decrease. The number of cases then again increased to its previously elevated levels in 2007 with 30 cases. To identify any unreported cases for the 2006 year, we cross-matched the Arizona Department of Health Services Sexually Transmitted Disease Database with the State Infant Registry. In Arizona, physicians and laboratories are mandated by state rule to report certain STDs, including syphilis and congenital syphilis, to the State Health Department. A cross-match was performed of all women reported to the state database with a syphilis-related lab test, both treponemal and non-treponemal, from January 1, 2005 to December 31, 2007. This database was then cross-matched with either the Arizona Live Birth or Fetal Death Registry for 2006. There were a total of 7 cross-matches completed. The name, date of birth, and or last name of the women in the STD database were cross-matched to the live birth database and fetal death database using maternal first name combined with either maternal last name, maternal maiden name, maternal date of birth, or fetal last name. For example, the first name and last name of the woman in the STD database was cross-matched with the maternal first name and maternal maiden name in the live birth registry. Any name matches were then evaluated for date of birth matches, and those that matched in all three underwent a case review. There was not a case match completed using maternal last name with the fetal death registry, as that registry contains only maternal maiden name in Arizona. The cross matches were completed using SAS 9.1 and managed in Excel 2003. Criteria for classification of congenital syphilis cases were determined using the CDC Congenital Syphilis Investigation and Report Form 73.126 and previously published criteria from this cited 2001 MMWR article. This is a summary of the case criteria classification used. I won't go through each one, as they are the usual CDC case classification criteria for defining congenital syphilis cases. In addition, however, with this evaluation, we included as case an infant born to a woman with a positive non-treponemal test at delivery and no treponemal confirmatory test completed at that time, but with a subsequent positive confirmatory treponemal test. After cross-matching of the data sets, the final list of women with syphilis matched to infants born in 2006 was then evaluated on a case-by-case basis. First, all previously reported cases were excluded. Next, the available state and county health department records were reviewed, and any match where the mother was found to be falsely positive or the pair did not meet case criteria were excluded. Finally, all remaining matched pairs underwent a delivery and prenatal chart review, and again, matches that were found to be falsely positive or did not meet case criteria were excluded. So now I'm going to talk a bit about our results. After all cross-matching was completed, there were 595 pairs identified. 14 of 16 previously reported cases were identified in the cross-match. The two cases that were not identified were individuals who in the state database, their first and middle names were reversed, and because our matching criteria included the first name in the STD database in every occurrence, we didn't pick up those two cases. After health department record review, there were 32 live birth and 3 stillbirth matches remaining. And finally, after medical chart review, there were 4 live birth and 2 stillbirth cases identified. This table provides a summary of the live birth cases that were identified. One mother did receive prenatal care, but it was late in pregnancy and subsequently was treated less than 30 days prior to delivery. One mother who was diagnosed as a secondary syphilis case during pregnancy did not have an adequate titer decline after treatment, and her infant had long bone abnormalities. The third mother did not receive any treatment during pregnancy, seemingly from inadequate communication following her release from corrections during her pregnancy and a non-treponemal test that went from positive to negative and back to positive. And finally, the final mother tested positive for syphilis at delivery after not having received any prenatal care. Of note, 2 out of the 4 infants that were not treated at delivery have been subsequently contacted and tested via the local health department. This is a summary of the stillbirth identified cases. Both of these cases are women who presented to care for the delivery of a stillborn infant and had no known prenatal test for syphilis. The first case is a woman who had 5 prior stillborn infants. She had completed some prenatal care during this pregnancy, but it was outside of the United States. She has subsequently been treated for syphilis and delivered a healthy baby in 2008. The results of this study highlight the limitations of a passive surveillance system for congenital syphilis. As you recall, Arizona had 16 cases reported in 2006. The addition of these 6 infants represents a 37% increase in the number of cases for Arizona for that year, and an annual rate per 100,000 live births increased from 17.2 to 23.5. Arizona state ranking for that year would have moved from 7th to 4th. Gaps in health department investigation of women with positive syphilis lab tests were evident in this analysis and reflect a breakdown in the timely communication and investigation of positive lab results by the state and county health department, limited health department staff skilled in lab interpretation, and or underutilized prioritization systems for case investigations. In addition, unreported congenital syphilis cases may represent gaps in provider knowledge about required reporting and or proper diagnosis and treatment. Lack of prenatal care and late prenatal care, seen for 3 out of 6 of these cases, are common contributors to congenital syphilis due to the lack of timely diagnosis and treatment opportunities. Health department intervention beyond encouraging early prenatal care would not have helped in these cases. With the remaining 3 cases, however, health department intervention could have resulted in the proper treatment and follow-up of the mother's syphilis infection, which may have prevented the congenital syphilis case. This study highlights the need for more timely and complete health department follow-up of positive syphilis labs among women in Arizona. Having seen the utility of this cross-match analysis in 2006, the Arizona STD Control Program has recently completed the same analyses for 2007 and 2008. The cases here in dark blue are the reported live birth cases for each year. Those in light blue are the stillbirth cases. Those in red are the live birth cases identified through this type of cross-match analysis, and those in orange are the stillbirth cases identified. As you can see, in 2007, the cross-match analysis identified 10 live birth cases that had not been reported for the year. And in 2008, the cross-match identified 9 live birth and 2 stillbirth cases for a total of 11 unreported cases for 2008. So the implications that we've had in Arizona with this study. The results of this study have been used in Arizona to reemphasize the timely investigation of women with positive syphilis lab results. For example, a CDC assignee has recently been placed in Pima County. A large portion of her daily focus is on women with syphilis and congenital syphilis. Next, at the state level, we now initiate CS forms on every infant with a positive lab test for syphilis and request the local heart departments provide support for any of these cases that they have closed out. In addition, the nature of the study inherently assures that every possible congenital syphilis case will be evaluated, at least at the laboratory level at the state health department. Next, it was learned that several congenital syphilis cases were being closed out incorrectly when the infant had a negative RPR at delivery, regardless of the mother's syphilis testing. This represented many of the cases for 2007 and 2008, and this practice has subsequently been discontinued. And finally, medical chart reviews oftentimes garner information that is missing in the state database, such as treatment and confirmatory test information. So this cross-match analysis also improves the completeness of the state database. The results from this study have also been used to support healthcare provider and public health department education, to support health policy related to prenatal syphilis testing, and to reemphasize the importance of case reporting to providers and hospitals. Let's take, for example, the case of Pima County. This graph shows the number of congenital syphilis cases in Arizona by year and by county. The solid lines are the number of cases reported prior to this congenital syphilis cross-match study, and the broken lines are the number of cases by county after the cross-match was completed. If we focus primarily on Pima County, which is here in red, you can see that between 2006 and 2008, Pima County experienced a substantial increase in the number of annual congenital syphilis cases. As you can see, an alarming increase from 3 cases to 10 cases prior to the cross-match becomes even more concerning when it is an increase from 3 to 15 cases after the cross-match, a 5 times increase in 2 years. In response to this increase, the medical director from Pima County recently issued letters to the county's medical providers, including a separate letter for obstetricians, to outline the current epidemiology of congenital syphilis in Pima County and to reiterate congenital syphilis prevention, diagnosis, and treatment. This is an example of one of the letters that was recently sent out. Included in this particular letter is a section that mentions this retrospective evaluation and the delay in notifying the community of a large increase in congenital syphilis cases that occurred due to these cases not having been reported. And in conclusion, we feel that identifying all congenital syphilis cases in a region is important for several reasons, including the importance of ensuring treatment of all cases, improving the completeness of local and national surveillance, and improving the appropriateness of resource allocation based on morbidity. In Arizona, we recognize the value of this method of unreported case identification and will complete the process on an annual basis. And finally, we recommend the consideration of this method to other jurisdictions with high or emergent syphilis morbidity. And then finally, I'd like to acknowledge all of these individuals who have played a large role in the implementation of this project, and in particular, the New Mexico State Health Department, upon whose previously published study methodologies this evaluation was modeled. Thank you. Any questions?
Maybe I missed something. What happened, what was the situation prior to 2006? 2006 forward is where you start to notice the increase in the...
The question is what the situation is in Arizona for congenital syphilis?
Yes. Were there any other factors that contributed to the increase aside from the disparity in reporting of cases? Was there anything, any other indicators that might have led to this increase?
So the question is if there was anything that occurred in Arizona between 2005 and 2006 that might have led to the increase in cases that
we
see.
Between 2006 and 2009, that's where it starts to go back up.
Start seeing the increase. Prior to the cross-match completion, our congenital syphilis numbers, if you exclude 2006, were fairly steady. There's nothing that we do a lot of evaluation of congenital syphilis, and there's nothing that we've evaluated in this time period that might have increased the numbers. Rather, I suspect that if we were to repeat this cross-match analysis for 2003, 2004, and 2005, we would find a number of unidentified cases for those years as well. The question is, do all states maintain fetal death registries? I don't know. Arizona does.
Yeah, I have a question about your fetal death registry. I guess being that you're a state, what is your delay? Because I'm from Philadelphia County, and our delay is about 3 years to get our fetal death, because it's a paper system that has to be data entered. So the feasibility of using it for identifying congenital syphilis demise, fetal demise, isn't.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
So I was curious as to what your system is.
Okay, the question is, what is our system for fetal death reporting? Because some states have a delay in the reporting of fetal deaths. And both our live birth and fetal death records in Arizona are electronically. There's an electronic system set up at the hospital where it is entered in at the hospital and it goes automatically to the state vital records. In vital records, they say to give them till about April of the next year, and that's when the database from the year before is pretty reliable.
Mm-hmm. You spoke on a few infants that had non-reactive RPRs. My question with that is regarding the mothers. Were they inadequately reported or inadequately treated or both? Or is that why they were classified as presumptives?
Those were from the 2007 and the 2000. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll repeat the question. The question was about the infants that had negative RPRs and sort of what was occurring with the mothers at that time. There were a number of them, so it's hard to sort of summarize. It seemed to be the pattern in the county where if the infant had a negative RPR at delivery, that was considered a negative case for congenital syphilis, and regardless of the treatment of the mother or the adequate treatment. Oftentimes the infants were still treated at delivery, it's just that they weren't included or reported as congenital syphilis cases. Oh no, these were mothers that were infected. Yeah. We wouldn't find a mother.
If they were treated adequately before delivery, they may not necessarily be considered presumptive cases.
These were mothers, if you disregarded the infant's testing at delivery, if you disregarded the infant's negative RPR at delivery, they would be included as cases. Because
okay.
The treatment was inadequate or the titer decline or something. Okay, thank you.